Blog Talk Radio.
Politricks.
Politricks.
With Mercer Prescott and his band of eclectic cronies.
That's right.
6:30 p.m. every Monday.
Politricks, politricks, it's what you need to know. Politricks, politricks, it's what you need to know. Politricks, politricks, it's what you need to know. Politricks, politricks, it's what you need to know.
Break it down, man, fuck the fake news. Tell the empty crack of politics affects you. Affects you with empire, she's fake, cause they're liars. Knowledge is key, before we expire. Never 45, this president is the alive. Whatever Merck tell us might keep us alive. Cause what they doing is some bullshit. That's what you need to know, these politics.
Politics, politics, is what you need to know. 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 Merck Prescott, 6:30 p.m. on Monday, you better listen to him. Politics, politics, is what you need to know. Politics, politics, is what you need to know. Ho!
Politics with Mercer Prescott. Go ahead and spit that.
What's up? What's up, man? What's going on?
Same old, same old.
Yep, I hear that, man. All right. I'm going to jump right into the meat and potatoes. But actually, before I do that, I got a couple of small quick hits before I get to the big thing, to the elephant in the room. Number one, congratulations to France on electing Emmanuel Macron, if I'm pronouncing his last name right. I apologize. He's the centrist who beat out Marine Le Pen, their version of Donald Trump, and he slaughtered her. He got 66% of the vote to her 33.9%. So he beat the stuffings out of her, which is good, because we don't need any more Trumps in the world. So once again, congratulations to France to watching America and England destroy itself and saying, nah, that's okay. another quick hit I want to get into is Roy Oliver, who was the cop who killed Jordan Edwards. He was charged with murder, of course. He turned himself in a few days ago. My thing is this. It was a 6-day turnaround until they charged him with murder, which I think is actually really good. Because it's, you remember how much all these other cases dragged out before we got a disappointing end to it. But Dallas police said, okay, here's the witness's story, here's our cop story, and here's the body cam. And our cop is full of shit, because this story doesn't even match. And even the ME said it was murder. So, because they kind of shot him in the back of the head with an AR-15 as he was driving away. So whether a jury will convict, I don't know, because you remember what happened in the Walter Scott case. So, but if nothing else, at least the Dallas Police Department did their part. So I can at least applaud them on that. And one last thing, there was a myth that I was actually pushing that got busted today. And I don't mean, I got to put myself out there whenever I can. Okay? And real quick, I made a statement about, you know, people doing farm jobs and saying, you know, I'm not too proud to pick oranges for a living. I just can't do it for $2 an hour. It turns out these farm jobs now, they pay like $10, $12 an hour. And they're getting 401ks. They're getting subsidized housing. They're getting paid vacations and holidays. So it's not like just some, you know, it's a real job. And they're trying to get Americans to do this job because they don't want to get busted hiring illegal immigrants, you know. But Americans won't do the job. Illegal immigrants won't stay and do the jobs because they're afraid of getting deported. So, but that, those jobs are out there, and they're actual jobs with benefits, and Americans still won't do them. So it takes my myth, and it just snaps it in half. So it really is jobs that Americans don't want to do. myself. But let's get to the meat and potatoes of the day. Let's get into, let's start with TrumpCare 3.0. I can't believe this is TrumpCare 3.0. Like, they keep trying to push this thing on the American people. They call it repeal and replace. It's a repeal. There is no replacement for this thing. So it's just a full repeal of Obamacare. So
when you say 3.0, I thought it was 2.0.
2.0 already died in the Senate. And the thing is, 2.0 came and went just like that in a flash, because they ran into the same problems as the first version. They couldn't get Freedom Caucus to vote for it. Freedom Caucus is basically just a new name for the Tea Party. Let's just, you know, you could just, you know, you could take a pile of shit and wrap it in shiny tin foil, it's still shit. It's still the Freedom Caucus, the Tea Party. And their whole beef was, it's not cruel enough, it doesn't take away enough. But this version does. So they voted for it in the House of Representatives. And keep in mind, it didn't win in a landslide. It won by 3 votes, 4 votes. And that's because no Democrat voted for it. And 20 Republicans jumped ship to vote against it. That's how bad this thing is. So, taking a quick look at it, Think Progress had a good piece on it. 6 main points. So first and foremost, tens of millions of Americans are going to lose their health insurance. Put it like this. Blue, you have auto insurance, right? I hope. So, but if you have auto insurance, right, they try to make it affordable because they want you to use it.
I have auto insurance. I have USAA, the preferred insurer for military families.
Oh, nice. You know, I have, I get renter's insurance through my job. And my thing is this, you know, yes, they would like you to be safe, but they know, okay, you're going to get into that accident, you know. So then they have to charge, they have to find that sweet spot between making it affordable so you will stay with them and being able to pay out coverages if something were to happen. So it's a balancing act, right? With medical insurance, you have a product that people have to survive, but these companies don't want you to use it at all. So they do everything they can to deny you if you're sick, which is how the ACA came about in the first place, right? So they think that by kicking all these people off of insurance, it's going to make it go down? No, because now you have less people paying in. So it's idiotic to do that. But I'll get to the whole motive of it at the end. But they said for the CBO report on TrumpCare 1.0, they said in that first couple years, at least 24 million people are going to lose their health insurance. So, and they pushed this before, they pushed 3.0 before they could even do another CBO analysis on it. So that's how fast they pushed this thing through. So the next thing is Medicaid is going to get slashed, right? My father's on Medicaid. You know, he's 76 years old, he's retired. So now Medicaid premiums are probably going to double because over the next decade, TrumpCare is going to slash $880 billion out of Medicaid, right? So that's going to hurt seniors, of course, people with disabilities who are also on Medicaid, and it's going to place a cap on per-person spending for certain groups, which is ridiculous. So, and here's a tweet from Donald Trump from May of 2015. Okay, he said, I was the first and only potential GOP candidate to state there will be no cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Huckabee copied me. Talk about Mike Huckabee. So I don't know why I'm even mentioning that part of it, because we all know that every promise Trump made, he was going to break, because he just wanted to get the rubes to vote for him, and they did. So, but that's almost $1 trillion. That they're cutting out of Medicaid. So something he said, of course, that he was not going to do. Here's the big one. Protections for pre-existing conditions are going to be gutted. Now, a lot of these politicians have been getting on TV and trying to spin this and use fancy words to try and make this seem what it isn't. So, number one, they're trying to say it's they're going to give it to the states. But then they're going to say, well, yeah, states have the option to opt out of pre-existing condition protection, but what state's going to be crazy enough to do that? Yeah, what dumbass is going to be stupid enough to vote for Trump? Seemed like there were about 65 million of them. So that's a cop-out right there. Second of all, one of the biggest protections of the ACA was pre-existing conditions. I am a type 2 diabetic, which means that without the ACA, I can't get insurance because I have a pre-existing condition, being diabetic. What makes this crazy is that there are so many things that are considered to be pre-existing conditions. So being diabetic, what they would do is they would put me into what they call a high-risk pool, and I would just pay more. So it's either I have to trim other things out to pay to be in this high-risk pool, or I simply don't have insurance. I was trying to follow up on something that I was told, that in Houston, Texas, 40% of the people who drive don't have insurance because they can't afford it. Now, I was not able to find that, but I did find something else that said that in Dallas, they had a huge problem where they had about 20% of their drivers driving uninsured. Now, some of it was because they couldn't afford it, and some of it was because there were clerical errors. People who had insurance were listed as uninsured. But a lot of people don't have insurance, not because they're like, ah, fuck you. If I crash into you, I hope you, you know. It's not like that. It's because they simply can't afford it, especially if you live in some place like New York or Texas, where because it's such a high risk to drive, you know, it's up there. But driving a car is optional. Your life is not optional. So there's no reason to take someone who's sick and put them in a high-risk pool like that and make them pay more money and price them out of insurance altogether. Because, like I said before, they want you to have this product that they don't want you to use. So they just want young, healthy people to pay in and never use insurance. But here's the problem with that. Those young, healthy people are going to get older, and they're going to get sicker. I mean, especially if you live in some place like, West Virginia, which is almost as poisoned as Flint, if not more so because of all the coal companies, you know, with their purple and black water because of all the runoff. So, yeah, those people get sick. You know, you start off young and healthy. That's how you start. But you're not going to finish young and healthy. You're going to finish old, and you're probably going to get sick. Something big like cancer, or maybe even something minor like glaucoma that you can treat with laser eye surgery or something like that. But no one stays healthy forever. Not in this day and age. Not in this country. Not in the country where you can go to KFC and get yourself a double down, which is basically just two giant chicken breasts with cheese in the middle of it. You don't even put it on a bun. But anyway, what makes it worse is the pre-existing condition is if you're a woman. Because under Trump care, being a woman is practically a pre-existing condition. You have a yeast infection, that's a pre-existing condition. You got pregnant, pre-existing condition. If you got raped, that is a pre-existing condition. I wish to God I was making that up to be funny. So this really hurts women in a horrible way. And so many women, and, you know, not trying to play the race card here, but a lot of white women voted for Trump. They turned their backs on Hillary and voted for Trump. How's that working out for you? No. And also, it's insurance across the board is going to cost more. You know who's going to get a break? Young, healthy people who are well off. even if you're young and healthy, if you're poor, you're going to pay thousands more. Like, I'm diabetic, right? Which means that I'm going to pay between $5,000 and $7,000 more per year under Trump care. Do I have an extra $5,000 to $7,000? No. No. Maybe I'll get lucky and see ASAP Ferg walking around, and then I can just get my rusty pliers and my chloroform and just rip that gold out of his mouth, get them diamonds. Other than that, how am I going to afford this? You know? Now, the underlying reason for all this, right, is it's so that wealthy Americans can get a tax cut. One of the biggest things that Republicans hated about Obamacare is that a lot of that tax burden fell on the rich. Now, keep in mind, like, put it like this, Blue. You have insurance, so you have nothing to worry about, right? And I think they simplified it because in the beginning, like, do you remember doing your taxes and having to have a form that said that you have insurance so that you don't get a penalty? Like, I remember having to...
Yeah, I actually do remember that form. It caused quite the confusion for me. And I have 168 IQ.
I remember the first 2 years I had to send in that form. My employer sent it to me. And that was proof that I had insurance. But I think they stopped making people fill that part of it out. Because when I did my taxes, I didn't have to do it. When I did it a couple months ago. Yeah. But there is a mandate, an individual mandate, that says if you don't have insurance, you have to pay a penalty. Now, it's not a hefty penalty. For a lot of people, it just comes out of tax returns. So it's not like they're going to be garnishing their wages for it, you know. But some people who did fall into that Obamacare donut hole, a lot of it created by Medicare for All, well, not Medicare for All, by the states blocking the Medicare expansion, some people just figured, you know what, instead of buying expensive health care I can't afford, I'll just pay the penalty and not have health care. Especially since for a lot of people, it just came out of their taxes. So it's less tax money that they get back. But it was better than getting insurance that they can't afford. Basically, this is going to be, over the next decade, it's going to be a $1 trillion giveaway to the rich. And that's all it is. Because now, they're going to do a flat tax, and they're not going to tax the rich anymore to support, support the Obamacare. But here's the thing. The money that they're going to get from those flat taxes are nowhere close to what it's going to be to support the system. So the rich get a tax break, and the poor get fucked. And that's the way it always is. But here's the thing about this, right? Let me put it like this. A quick history lesson, right? You remember, well, maybe not personally, but when they did the Civil Rights Act back in the 60s, in 64, I think it was, and Southern Democrats were decimated in the South because of it. The Democrats in the South in 64 are basically the Republicans now, just not as evil. And the big shift happened in the South when Republicans took over the South because Lyndon B. Johnson got all these Southern Democrats to vote for the Civil Rights Act. So even though their constituents were like, if you vote for this thing, this is going to be your last term, Lyndon B. Johnson got them and told them, look, this has gone on long enough. This is the right thing to do. So you had people who sacrificed their political careers to do the right thing, to pass the Civil Rights Act. Now you have the opposite. You have people who are about to sacrifice their political careers for money. Because all these people are getting big money from for the insurance industry. So they get tons and tons of money to vote for what they want, and they also get connections. I don't think there's, with the exception of Pat McCrory, right, I don't think there is any Republican stooge who has lost his career and then didn't get a cushy job in return for it. Like I talked about Eric Cantor a couple weeks ago, you know. He got voted out of office, but then they gave him a cushy job. He gets to fly all over the world and give 15-minute speeches. Send him to Saudi Arabia to give a 30-minute speech. You know? So with the exception of, like, Joe Walsh or Pat McCrory, all these other guys are paid. And that's one thing I will say about the Evil Empire. They do take care of their lackeys for the most part. So these people, they're already running ads for all these vulnerable Republicans. They've already started running attack ads on them. You know, they're already going to get primaried or their opponents are already after them for signing this bill. Now, here's the worst part of it all. All that sacrifice they did to push that bill, the bill is dead. Now, keep in mind, and the reason why I say it's dead but not forgotten is that the Senate's not even going to vote on it. The Senate's like, yeah, we're not putting our names in this piece of shit. What we're going to do is we're going to write our own bill, and we're going to pass it in the Senate and then give it to the House to vote on. And what's going to happen is they're going to have to take the two bills, compare them together. You know, it's going to be a big process, so it's not going to be like tomorrow we're going to lose our health care. It's going to be a huge process, but in its current form, the Senate was like, nope. And the reason for that is this. All those House seats, most of them are gerrymandered. So their voters are going to stick with them no matter what, for the most part. And I'll get into that in a second. Senate races are statewide races. And a lot of these senators, like Tom Cotton and, you know, Joe Manchin and stuff like that, they've been feeling that heat. People in those town halls are pissed. So they know if they put their names on this, they're dead. Their careers are over. Just pack that shit up and just move on out. You're done. So that's why they're going to try and pass their own version and push it back to the House. Because they know. I mean, you figure it like this. Not one Democrat voted for it in the House, right? So you can pretty much figure the same, and they don't have a majority like that in the Senate. So all they need is about four or five Republicans to flip, and the bill would die. So there's already two Republican senators. Lisa Murkowski, I think, is one of them. I'm trying to remember who the other one is. But you figure those two are not going to vote for that bill. So they're already going to flip. And then you have all the people who are feeling that pressure. They may flip. If they had let that bill go to the Senate, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I'd be talking about Lonzo Ball's ugly sneakers because the bill would be dead again. There'd have been no way it would have passed the Senate in its current form. But the Republicans got to do something. They can't let this thing die three times. So that's why they're going to write their own version. But my thing is this. The Democrats. I got to say, man, they're fucking killing me here. Because you figure you got the vampire wounded. Right? He's got a wooden stake half in his chest. All you got to do is pull down those drapes and hit him with that sunlight, and he's dead, and they won't do it. This would be the perfect time to push single payer. Push single payer. You put it like this. 80% of Democrats, and I think about maybe 54, 55% of Republicans want single payer. Okay? It's the only way to go right now. All these other countries have single payer or some form of single payer. Australia has single payer to a point. If you wanted something extra, right, you could still get private insurance to supplement. But for the most part, your insurance is taken care of by the government. Canada, they don't pay for insurance. They pay, of course, through the taxes. But do you know how many people in Canada, in France, in England, go bankrupt over medical bills? None. Nobody. It's not a thing. because it's paid for already. Hawaii has socialized medicine. If New York and California get their way, they'll have a single payer for their states. So the Democrats should be pushing this hard, and they're not pushing it because a lot of their key members, like Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein, you know, your Cory Bookers and all of them, they're already paid off by the industry. Dianne Feinstein in her career, and she's been doing this a long time, she's taken over $2 million from the industry. As a matter of fact, she's up for re-election. Guess who is doing a fundraiser for Dianne Feinstein? Medical insurance industry. It couldn't be more blatant that these people have no desire to help. And then they wonder why progressives won't vote for them. I had an argument with a friend of mine on Facebook because I responded to a thread about Hillary Clinton. And I basically said that she ran a shit campaign. That's why she lost. It wasn't because of WikiLeaks. It wasn't because of Podesta. It wasn't because of any of that stuff. It's because she sucks. She's shitty at her job. Just because you've been doing the job for a long time doesn't make you good at it. Okay? Hillary is great at self-promotion. She's good at fundraising and making money. But she's not really good at being a politician. And she was the worst choice. Put it like this. How can you lose to a man who on election night had like a 36% approval rating on election night? And you lost to him. And these are the people who are leading the Democratic Party.
That WikiLeaks and that stupid ass, damn it, that's too high, I can't remember. But anyways, that stupid ass WikiLeaks and that stupid ass FBI guy coming out about the stupid ass emails. Man, that was some bullshit. If you look at the how it was released, how the information was, you know, let go and stuff, that was coordinated to get what they wanted. The 1% wanted exactly what is happening right now. It's manifesting the way they wanted it to. Because he's taking Trump, you know, removing restrictions here and, hey, forget that stupid-ass regulation. You don't need that, da-da-da. And while he's doing that, no matter how long they said, the minute it went out of place, those stocks rose. The minute. So people who had investments, they got stupid rich. You know what I'm saying? And even if they're peeled back and put in place right now, it's too late. Those people already got stupid rich off of what's already been done.
I will give you one thing. The WikiLeaks thing did hurt Hillary a lot because they exposed what they did to Bernie Sanders, and it took a lot of wind out of progressive sails, and the progressives just were not going to vote for her. So I will give you that. But the FBI thing, the James Comey thing, yeah, James Comey came out and said that they were opening up the investigation, and before the election, they cleared Hillary. And they said, yeah, we reopened this, but we didn't find anything. So,
but that wasn't enough, though. But that wasn't enough. They already tainted the people who was already like, I bet you if that never came out, some of those Bernie people would have came over and she would have been all right. But
The Bernie people wouldn't have come over because they were already done after the WikiLeaks thing. And then, like I said, I'll give you that because that WikiLeaks thing hurt. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You were right. I will give you that. But the Comey thing, anybody who was on the fence at that point was probably not going to vote for Hillary anyway because, like I said, even before the election, Comey cleared her. So it wasn't Comey came out and then...
I don't know why the WikiLeaks was that impactful because I haven't been on WikiLeaks ever. In fact, I'm afraid to go in there because I think I'm going to get flagged by the FBI.
Right. I was on there maybe one time, and that was like years before what went on now. But, you know, but I, yeah, I, I agree with you on that one. I'm not trying to keep a low profile, man. I'm not trying to get hemmed up by the FBI. But
hell nah.
You figure it like this, right? Hillary lost states that Obama won twice because she never showed up in those states. Wisconsin and Michigan were two big states. Hillary never set foot in either one of those states. You know who was in
all
those
right,
states?
You know, she had a lot of mistakes. She made a lot of mistakes. But I think besides the WikiLeaks, the biggest mistake she made is she did not have a stance. Like how he said, make America great again.
Yes.
Okay, what was Obama's thing? What the fuck was Obama's thing? Everybody has a mantra. Stand by your mantras. And people don't realize the impact of a mantra. If you don't have a mantra, Hillary, 2017, or whatever year that was, 2016, that's just not enough. You know what I'm saying? You got to be like, girl power, bitch, or something like that.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But that's the thing. Her mantra was stronger together. That was her thing. But the problem
but
is, it's just...
You never heard it. It never rang. You know, it wasn't as prominent as the red hat with the words, make America great again. In fact, you telling me that is the first time I've ever even heard that. And I was in
and you're right about that. It was just empty platitudes, you know. And, you know, stronger together. And it was just like, whatever. Because Trump is out there, even though... We all know that Trump is bullshit. At least he was trying to promise people something. He was trying to tell people in West Virginia, yeah, we're going to bring back coal jobs. Really? And no one ever said, how are you going to do that? They just heard, oh, you're going to bring back coal jobs? Oh, great. And the thing
and
is...
Where
is he?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, Trump, he at least promised something, even if people like me and you knew it was bullshit. He at least promised something.
You know, you're 100% right. In fact, even 6 months later, maybe 7 months later, I find it hard to remember any clear, definitive message she said that rang, that made me say, yeah, that's the bitch. But then I have to be totally honest. I have to say the same for Bernie.
No, with Bernie, he did have... His big thing was he wasn't as big on the single payer then as he is now, but he was definitely big on the $15 minimum wage. And
they
got me trying to remember.
Fuck that shit. I don't give a fuck about no $15 minimum wage. I'd be damned if somebody makes $9-$10 less than I do, and they don't even got no fucking high school degree. I mean, no damn diploma. Fuck that shit. Choices and consequences, motherfucker. Choices. If you choose to drop out in eighth grade, that's your dumb ass. Get this $7.25. That's how I feel. Fuck it. That's just how I feel.
But put it like this, though, right? You know, I think I mentioned this before. My niece is EMT. And real quick, she was like, you know, why should burger flippers make as much money as I do? They're flipping
Thank
burgers.
You.
I'm
Thank
a goddamn EMT. But I told her this. I said, your question shouldn't be, why should they be making $15 an hour? The question is, why are you making more money? Because if you're an EMT, you should be making more than $15 an hour. Construction workers in New York start at $20 an hour. So if you're an EMT and you're saving lives and you're working those long, horrible shifts, you should be making more than $15 an hour. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So
I mean, valid. But, I mean, it's all about reimbursements and this and that. It's complicated, man.
Yeah. But the problem is, $7 an hour is not enough to live on. Put it like this. If they had kept
choices
minimum wage...
motherfucker.
Well, put it like this. If back in the late 60s, early 70s, right... If they had kept minimum wage up with inflation, the minimum wage would be $20 an hour. So think about
what?
That. So minimum
what?
Wage would have been, yeah, that's the thing. If they had kept up with inflation, like that's why the minimum wage in Australia is $16 an hour. Because it didn't start at $16 an hour. They just tie it to inflation. So every time inflation goes up, the minimum wage goes up so that people aren't out in the streets. So if back in the late 60s, early 70s.
And they said we're the number one country. How do we, who started that stupid-ass propaganda? There's no way in the world we could be the number one. With all these other countries have so much more stuff going on better for them regarding people. How do you honor being the number one? The number one person in the country that's making fake money? Because that's all we're doing. There's no goal to justify the money we have.
Yeah. Put it like this. You know, we're number one in arrogance. We're the most arrogant people in the world. That's what we're number one in. And arrogance,
no,
and like George Carlin said.
You got me fucked up. I'm not even from America, bro. No, I'm not arrogant.
He's like,
my company has another chance they stand on. And it's nothing nice either, but it definitely has a chance to get
you. He said, don't put me in that pile of shit. But, put it like this. I just found out today in Ontario, in Canada, medications for people under 25, their medications are free. And we're talking about everything, like, up to cancer drugs are free.
What about Viagra?
If you're,
what about Viagra?
If you're 20, oh, I don't know about that. They didn't mention that.
If a 25-year-old has Viagra, he's got a lot of something going on more than just
that. Yeah, right? if a 25-year-old needs Viagra, he's probably got some medical condition. But they do the same thing for the elderly. They subsidize their medication so they don't have to pay for their medication.
Now, what country is this?
And,
what country is this?
In Canada and Ontario. They just passed that law, and it takes place January 1st of 2018. So if you're 25 and under,
on that level? What would it take for us to get on that level? You know what I mean?
It would
stop fucking funding wars that have no benefit. One, two, stop fucking feeding countries that don't give us nothing back. No offense, but I'm just not with that. You know what I'm saying? Sending billions and millions of dollars to countries that don't benefit us in the end just because we're saying they're our friends. Get the fuck out of here. I love you to death, but I'm not giving you $1 billion, Merck. Fuck you.
I agree with you on that. Like, we give Israel all that money. We give Saudi Arabia weapons and, you know.
I thought I'd take them home before everybody. One, Chicago's fucked up right now. Bruh, can you at least send us $100 million in Chicago to clean up our streets, please? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not even $100 million. Give us $10. Why is rappers doing more for the community, like Chance the Rapper, than our own fucking government, my nigga? You know what I'm saying?
I won't even talk about Flint. But,
thank you.
Put it like this.
Why are we still drinking bottled water in Flint, Michigan? And why are we about
then,
to drink bottled water in Person County, North Carolina?
Oh, and get this. Thousands of people are about to get evicted from their homes for not paying their water bill. So they're making them pay.
I heard that. That's
for,
that
for,
bullshit.
For,
the media ain't even covering it like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they're going to pay for poison water? Fuck out of here, man.
I'm not going to pay for something that's poison killing my kids. Get the fuck out of my face, hoe. Compton for life,
you,
West Coast, nigga.
I tell you where I miss Obama, because Loretta Lynch would have been like, yeah, okay, that's not going to happen.
Well, no, Loretta Lynch would have. All that happened on Obama watch. Why he ain't do something? No, he don't get no fucking pass.
Hold on. Obama did all that he could do with the power that he
because
had.
The
rest of it would have been on Congress. That's the problem. If Obama could have just wrote an executive order and just said, yeah, let's give Flint $2 billion to redo their pipes, it would have been done. But that goes through Congress. That's the problem. And Congress is controlled by Republicans. So Obama did everything that he could do. Now, there was one thing. They wanted Obama, and I know we're running short on time, they wanted Obama to dip into...
No, we ran short on time 10 minutes ago. Come on, son.
They wanted Obama to dip into emergency funds to help Flint, and he said no. And he said no because that would have set a bad precedent. And that means that everybody would have dipped into that fund, and there'd have been no money left in that fund for what it was really supposed to be for. But...
Okay.
Everything that Obama could have done under his, you know, under his power, he did. But, you know, of course, it's not really publicized a lot. The rest of that's up to Congress. And it's Congress. So,
man,
what
we
do
gotta
you
clean
expect?
This Congress up. We gotta clean this Senate up, man. We gotta clean this House of Republicans.
You know what?
I mean, House of Representatives
talk,
up. We gotta do all that.
I'm gonna talk about that next week because there's already like Joe Manchin from West Virginia. He's being primaried. So there's a lot of people who's already being primaried on the Democratic side, and then. So I'll be talking about that either Saturday or next week. But it's already starting. It's going to be a process, though. It's not going to be an overnight thing. But people are fed up, you know, on both sides, on Republicans and Democrats, independents, progressives, you know, conservatives. Everybody's pissed, and they're fed up. And they want these people out of office. So even though I may hate, you know, I may not agree with conservatives, that's the one thing that conservatives and Democrats agree on 100% is that there's too much money in politics. That's the one thing that they agree on wholeheartedly. So those changes are going to be slow, but they're going to happen. And I'm hoping that we'll see single payer in our lifetime. Keeping my fingers crossed. But anyway, brother, your final thoughts.
My final thought is do your research and vote accordingly. But also remember that just because you vote for somebody doesn't mean they're going to stand by the same values that you thought they had when they was running, because they ain't nothing but you're going to do like Biggie did back in 94, party and bullshit and party and bullshit. Republican Party is bullshit. Bullshit is bullshit. You know the song.
Sing it. I don't remember the words. I know the song, but I don't remember the words. My final thought is this. If you have grassroots candidates in your area, even if you only donate $5, it's $5 that they're not getting from corporations. So I donate to Justice Democrats. I donate to grassroots candidates whenever I can. So $2, $3, $4, $5, it helps. You may not think so, but it definitely helps. So support your grassroots candidates, and let's get these dinosaurs out of office. So, and that's all I had, man.
All right, man, sounds good. And there goes another episode of Politrix with Mercer Prescott and his one eclectic crony.
All right, man.
All right, man. Be good, man. See you next week.
You got it, man.
Politrix. With Mercer Prescott and his band of eclectic cronies.
That's right.
6:30 p.m. every Monday.
Politrix is what you need to know. 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 Break it down, man. Fuck the fake news. Ain't tough to impact a politician.